Hey everyone, it's Mary Lou Tyler, and today I'm interviewing Hans-Peter Beck, author of the best-selling book, Building Successful Partner Channels. Hans-Peter is also the managing partner at TBK, that's Tom Baker K. King, Consult, a consulting company specializing in helping information technology companies break into foreign markets. Hans-Peter is based in Copenhagen, Denmark. So let's get started. Hans-Peter, thank you for taking the time to do this interview. Can you start by telling us, what does helping information technology companies break into foreign markets actually mean?
Thank you, Mary Lou, for inviting me to your show. I'm really excited to talk to you today and must start by complimenting you for your most recent book, Predictable Prospecting.
Oh, thank you.
Earlier this year, I read your first book, Predictable Revenue, that I believe you co-wrote with Aaron Ross. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that we have included a lot of your recommendations in our work. And now both of your books are on the list of recommended reading that we give to our clients.
Oh, wonderful. That's great.
But getting back to your question, let me start out with a little background. Before I started TBK Consults about 15 years ago, I had spent more than two decades selling information technology all over the world. From my base here in Copenhagen, I had started businesses in each and every country in Europe, in Japan, in Malaysia, in Thailand, in Singapore, in Australia, in New Zealand, in South Africa, and in North America. And several of the companies that I was working with was acquired by big global players along the road. Now, in the mid-1990s, I relocated to Stuttgart in Germany, from where I built the business for a Danish software company. I was responsible for the three German-speaking countries, that's Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, and this company was acquired by Microsoft in 2002. So what I learned from this journey, from all these international activities, was that the value of an information technology company that can prove global potential and have global traction is dramatically higher than an information technology company that only operates in a single country. So the return on investment from taking your company global is unbelievable. I also learned that if you don't take your company global, then you soon will be facing stiff competitions for those of your competitors that do, because they will be growing stronger and stronger every day, and they will slowly make your life more and more miserable. And finally, I learned that even though the needs for information technology, products and services are basically the same across the globe, there are always special circumstances in each country that requires a little adjustment, a little refinement to your products and to your value proposition and to the way that you facilitate the customer's buying process in each and every country. Sometimes these circumstances, and I now call them the business model environment, can be so unfavorable that we are actually better off just skipping that country and saving it for later. So the three big questions that all our clients are facing are the following. One, which country should I enter next? Two, what are the adjustments that I must make to my business model to bootstrap this market? And number three, how do I organize my marketing and sales activities, establishing a beachhead in that country from where I can grow? And as you well know, and I also think you write in your book, preparing a business plan is much faster and far less expensive than executing the plan.
Right.
So we urge our potential clients to think before they jump. Mm-hmm. And when they agree with us, and believe that's a practical approach, then we help them putting together the plan and test it before they commit serious resources to scale their business.
That's great. So how do these activities relate to your recent book, Building Successful Partner Channels?
Yeah, it doesn't seem that there is any relationship, but but there is. Because way over 50% of all information technology products and services are actually brought to the market through a channel of independent business partners. And when information technology companies consider whether they should go into foreign markets, very often they actually choose the indirect route, even though that they have a direct market approach in their domestic market. So therefore, there is a massive need for understanding what it takes to find, engage, recruit, enable, and grow business partners that can find, nurture, mature, activate, develop, win, make, keep, and grow happy customers on our behalf. It sounds like it's a long process, and that's exactly what it is. So when you then combine entering foreign markets with building successful partner channels, then you have a business venture that can go awfully wrong and often does. And this is exactly where we help our clients navigate the complexity and land on both feet.
So Hans-Peter, given that, what are then the major challenges that your clients are facing?
Before I answer that question, there are a few characteristics that in the information technology industry that I would like to share. Mm-hmm. People across the globe get the same ideas at the same time. And as the barriers to market entry in the information technology industry are actually quite low and they keep shrinking, you need the windows of opportunities that you have available are also shrinking. You simply have to get your bright idea to the market as fast as possible because people from all over the world are trying to do the same. So companies must move faster and faster, expanding outside the comfort zone of their domestic markets before these windows close. And therefore, I used to say that the information technology industry is an arms race for market leadership, country by country. The other observation that I like to share is that information technology products are basically invisible. And that makes it hard, very hard for our customers to relate their needs and challenges to new vendors and new products. And in addition, information technology products are seldom the total solution. Very often you need consulting and complementary products to form the entire solution. In many cases, the customer also needs to sort of adjust or change his business processes to take advantage of this new technology. So information technology projects are always associated with a certain risk. And therefore, customers all over the world prefer to buy from the recognized market leaders. And that now leads me back to your question. The challenges that our customers are facing. Most of our customers or clients are younger companies that have brilliant products that perform very well in their domestic markets, but they have limited resources and time to take on new countries. And making big and costly mistakes with big companies can be very deadly for a small company. So they need a lean way to find the best route to the international markets and a lean way to enter each country. And we can teach them this lean approach, and we can help them apply and refine the approach in the countries that they then choose to enter.
Okay. Well, you talked earlier about the differences in the various countries around the world. Can you give us some examples of what these differences are?
Yeah, sure. As I mentioned a little earlier, we call a new country for a new business model environment. And we use a template to identify those differences that is based on Alexander Osterwalder's book, Business Model Generation, that I believe is now becoming sort of the standard for business planning in the information technology industry. And the business model environment has four areas. The first area includes infrastructure, demographics, language, legislation, and culture. And already here we find the first significant differences. If you want to do serious business in Germany, France, Italy, Japan, China, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, then you must run your business in local language. You must verify that your products comply with local legislation, and your local operation, whenever you establish that, must comply with local legislation also. And in the age of software as a service, one of the big questions is also always, where do we store sensitive data? Many governments around the world, and actually also many companies, are reluctant to accept storing sensitive data abroad. And then we come to the culture part. Business is conducted in very different ways around the world. There are significant differences in how we build and maintain human relationships and how we address each other. So the templates and processes that you describe in your book will work very well in North America and also in Northern Europe. But in Southern Europe, Africa, the Middle East, Asia, and South America, social engagement and communication works completely different. Mm-hmm. And we have to adjust the process and the wording. Marketing and sales is all about communication and human relationships. And therefore, culture plays a very important role here. In our culture, and I believe also in the US culture, we can be frank. We can speak our mind and say what we mean. And our clients don't mind that we challenge them a bit because that may enhance their knowledge of the situation. That approach won't work in other cultures. That would be a complete showstopper. So understanding local culture is fundamental for designing effective business processes. So the second area in the business model environment is the market. And that includes everything associated with our customers. You could also call it the demand side of the market. That's their specific needs and requirements, how they're organized, where they find inspiration, who they listen to, and so on. And we often find that even though our products comply with local legislation, there are market demands related to tradition and culture that makes our products unsellable. So we may have very, very strong USPs that the local competition cannot match. But there are a few basic functions that we miss, and without those, our products are useless. So we need to have those in place before getting started, or at least we need to know that we have to provide those in a very short time frame, as soon as we can convert some of the leads that we generate into genuine customers. The third area in the business model environment is the industry, and that's our industry, and that includes everything associated with competitors and the substitution alternatives and the supply chain partners that we have to work with or that we can sign up as our partners, reselling our products or doing implementation. We can also call this the supply side of the market. And the obvious difference in this area is the competition. The competitive landscape is always different from country to country. And there are always some strong local competitors that we have not even heard of. So when I say we, I'm talking about companies in Europe, plan to enter big markets as the USA and China, the UK, Germany, France, and Italy. Those competitors are actually very often much stronger than we are. And it takes a very clever strategy to steal a share of their market under their noses. So, and the fourth area in the business model environment is macroeconomics. And that includes general market conditions, capital market conditions, resources, and economic infrastructure. And as most information technology companies are very fortunate in the sense that they do not have to build manufacturing plants and warehouses and set up physical distribution and spare parts and service locations, this area is normally of lesser significance.
Wow, it sounds like a lot of planning is necessary to sell into foreign markets. Yes?
Yeah. If you never done it before, I think it's with everything new. If you never done it before, it may appear overwhelming. However, when you've done it two or three times, then you know exactly what you need to look for. And you know what is required to make the changes in your business model and go-to-market plan. And I simply have to repeat that planning is fast and inexpensive. Execution is slow and expensive. So jumping headfirst into the swimming pool before checking the depth and temperature of the water is definitely not recommendable. You will find out both ways what the water is like, but the trial and error approach may put you in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. It's not worth doing it. So you have to commit the resources required to become competitive in a new country, or you stay out.
Mm-hmm. So what happens if you completely ignore the planning and instead jump headfirst into a new country?
You will fail. Or let me say that the probability that you will fail is very high. And what does failure mean? Yeah, that means that you will spend more time, you will spend more money, and the expected revenue will be much lower than what you had thought of. But the most critical issue is that you haven't learned anything. You don't have a plan, so you cannot really figure out what went wrong. Did you engage the wrong people? Did you underestimate the competition? Did you misinterpret the market? Did you have poor project management? Are there a few adjustments that you could have done and then it would be fixed? Mm-hmm. And the people that you engage to do the legwork, they will, of course, claim that it was the product, it was the price, it was the competition, and all the other factors that your performance, that their performance is not depending on. Ah, I need to take that again. You will fail. The probability that you will fail is very high. And what does that mean? It means that you will use more time, you will spend more money, and the revenue you generate will be much less than expected. But what is more critical is that you didn't learn anything. You didn't have a plan, so you don't have anything to compare the results against. Did you engage the wrong people? Did you underestimate the competition? Did you misinterpret the market? Did you have poor project management in your headquarter? Were there a few adjustments that you could have done that would have made the difference? When you talk to the people that you have engaged to do the legwork, they will always claim that it was something else, like the product, the price, the competition, and all the other factors. And you will not know if they were right or wrong. So when you fail, you either pull out of the market and have lost everything, or you have to do the planning that you should have done in the first place.
Right.
Yeah. Now, there obviously is always a slight probability that there is water in the swimming pool, right? There is a slight probability that you will be successful. But now you just don't know why.
Yeah.
What
good.
Did you learn from your apparent success? And what does it now take to scale the business? Because being successful in a startup phase in a new market means that you won a couple of customers. Can you scale the business by doing more what you already have done? Or was your breakthrough just a lucky punch? You know, I have actually seen many examples of companies getting some quick wins, and then nothing happens for a long, long time.
So what are your top three recommendations to companies who are considering moving into foreign countries?
My first recommendation would be to change all marketing material and all formal internal communication material to English. Now, that's not a big surprise to you. English-speaking companies are fortunate because they already have all that in place. But for the rest of us in other parts of the world where we speak different languages, that should be the first step. Because doing so will enable potential customers in foreign markets to find us. And we can now get an early indication of whether there is foreign demand for what we have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people across the world, and especially early adopters, they actually search the internet using English keywords. If you do not get any inbound inquiries from abroad, even though that you have all your marketing materials and your website in English, then you have a problem. And you need to fix that problem first. And reading the first chapters in your most recent book, Predictable Prospecting, that will be very helpful. Because the problem is normally all about segmentation and focus. My second recommendation is to carefully select the country you want to enter next and identify the changes required to your business model. So make a plan for doing these changes and start the execution. If these changes are minor, then you can move to recommendation number three. And my recommendation number three is to build the marketing platform in the foreign language and start hiring foreign language people to generate revenue located in your own central office. So you work closely with your new staff using your book as the guideline for setting up the lead generation process. Now, if that entire process, lead generation and sales development and the actual sales closing, can be managed without having people physically meeting with customers, without having feet on the ground in the foreign countries, then you can actually scale this format for some time. However, in the long run, differences in time zones, lack of foreign-speaking talent in the location where you have your main operation, and obviously requirements for physically meeting with customers, and also if you need to do major changes to your business model in terms of product changes, then it will require that you set up an operation in the country.
Okay. This is fascinating information, and the reason why I'm so excited about this is because I had the opportunity to do three countries, and it was Germany, France, and the UK, and just the email alone, the cold email, was so different between each of the companies in how we can place our request. So mm-hmm. The fact that you're taking it to this level is just fabulous. So given that, where should people go if they would like to learn more about your recommendations and your services? This is fascinating.
Yeah, thank you. Our website is www.tbkconsult.com. And here we have all the details about our services and the workshops that we offer, the keynotes that I do around the world, our books, our white papers and videos that can be downloaded for free. Mm-hmm. I publish new material every Wednesday on our own blog and on Thursdays on LinkedIn. And I also offer a bi-weekly e-journal that people can subscribe to, where I pick not only my own content, but also content that I found around the web on these specific issues that I like to share with my readers. And people can obviously follow me on Twitter, and I accept mostly LinkedIn connections from business development, marketing, sales, and other revenue generation professionals in the information technology industry. All my contact details are available on my LinkedIn profile, and I always welcome any question related to channel development and international business development in general. I will answer those questions, maybe not in person, but then in a post or in a video.
That's great. And I will put also Hans Peter's information in the show notes for anyone who wants to look at those. I'll be putting the actual transcript of our discussion. And where, if the video works out, we'll get it on video. And then, of course, we'll have the audio, too. So we'll put all of your contact information on that, on your special page, Hans Peter. But I thank you so much for sharing your insight and experience. I am sure all of those of you who get to watch the video or listening have learned a great deal about how the world is different outside of our borders and of their own country, and that we should always remember that if we want to be successful in other countries, then we need to adapt our business model environment in that country. As you said, the information technology is an arms race for market leadership country by country, and starting late may well be too late. I'm Mary Lou Tyler, and thank you again, Hans Peter, for joining us today. And everyone, if you have any questions, please leave them on the website. There's also an Ask Mary Lou. If you want to leave me a voicemail message and anything for Hans Peter, you can go to his website. As he said, he posts very regularly. I've even seen his posts on Amazon. So if you do a search on Amazon for him, you'll see some posts that he wrote there as well. Thanks again. Have a great day, and I appreciate you watching.